We're going to look at some, several chapters. Let's pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you for gathering us to worship you and listen to your word, which is very precious to us. Father, as we come to you, as we come to your word, through Holy Spirit, help us to understand your word clearly. Put your word into our heart. We ask in Jesus' name, Amen. It happened during a funeral at a quiet country church. The service was for a dearly loved woman. Her husband sat in the front pew, pale, broken, as though all light had left his world. As the minister closed in prayer, the husband suddenly stood up, walked to the coffin, and with a trembling voice declared, "I can't go on without her. Please bury me with her." He tried to climb into the grave with her, literally. The pastor rushed forward. Friends held him back. But he resisted, crying out, "She was my life. I have nothing left. Just let me go with her." Some wept, others were moved. People began whispering he truly loved her more than his own life. And then just as the scene reached its emotional peak, someone from the back shouted, "Fire! There's smoke!" Panic broke out. Within seconds, smoke began to fill the old wooden church. Everyone scrambled for the exit. People shoved. Chairs fell over. Someone screamed. And who was the very first to squeeze through the crowd at the door? Elbowing others out of the way, shouting at the top of his lungs? Yes, the grieving husband. "Let me out! Let me out! I want to die! I'm not ready to... I'm not ready yet." I was expecting you're laughing. This story offers a surprisingly honest window into how deeply we fear death and how unaware we often are of just how much that fear shapes us. People fear death. That much seems so obvious, it hardly feels necessary to say it. And yet, let us pause and ask the question anyway. Why do we fear death? What lies at the root of this universal human fear? Why do we fear death? At the heart of it is this, our longing for life. We fear death because we love life. We treasure it. And because we treasure life, we don't want it to end. We long for life to continue, even forever. And it's precisely that longing which makes the idea of death so disturbing, even terrifying. Let me ask you, do you love your life? Of course you do. That's natural. And that's exactly why we fear death, because we know deep down that life is precious. You see, the fear of death is not just weakness. The fear of death can lead us to recognize how deeply we value the life we've been given. And to honor that longing for life, to take it seriously, is not foolishness. It is, in fact, a kind of wisdom. Today, in Psalm 49, the psalmist offers us a wise answer to a question that many people struggle to understand. In today's sermon, we are going to explore the question the psalmist raises here and consider the wisdom he seeks to share with us. In verses 1 to 4, he says this: "Hear this, all you peoples, listen, all who live in this world, both low and high, rich and poor alike, my mouth will speak words of wisdom. The meditation of my heart will give you understanding. I will turn my ear to a proverb. With a harp, I will expound my riddle." I will expound my riddle, he says. In other words, he is not just wrestling with a difficult question. He is offering an answer for that. But it's not an answer meant for himself alone. He invites everyone to listen. This means that what he is about to say isn't merely personal reflection. It is wisdom worth hearing for all people. By raising a profound and troubling question, the psalmist seeks to share a truth that speaks to the human condition, a truth that demands attention. So then, what is the riddle that he struggled with and answered? Let's look at verses 5 to 6. "Why should I fear when evil days come, when wicked deceivers surround me, those who trust in their wealth and boast of their great riches?" In verses 5, 6, he begins by asking, why should I fear when evil days come, when wicked deceivers surround me? In other words, he is questioning whether he should fear when evil days come, when the wicked, those who deceive and oppress him, seem to be all around him. And his answer is clear. No, he will not fear, because there is no real reason to. Then he goes on to describe who these wicked people are. They are those who trust in their wealth and boast in their great riches. From this, we begin to see the situation the psalmist is facing. He is being oppressed and looked down upon by people who have accumulated great wealth, people who not only rely on their riches, but boast about them. They trust in their wealth as if it guarantees the security of their lives and their success. And because the psalmist does not have that wealth, they mock him, sneer at him, and treat him as a failure. Why? Because in the ancient world, especially in the cultures surrounding Israel, there was a commonly held belief: good people prosper, bad people suffer. So if someone was poor or suffering, it was assumed they must have done something wrong. And if someone was rich and thriving, that was seen as evidence of a divine favor or moral superiority. So it's likely these wealthy oppressors looked at the psalmist and said, "Look at your life. You've clearly failed. You have no wealth, no power. That tells us everything about who you are. They believed their riches guaranteed their status, security, and their lives. And from that place of false confidence, they mocked and condemned those who had little. And here lies the heart of the psalmist's riddle. Why does it often seem like the wicked prosper while the righteous suffer? Why? Why those who are corrupt and greedy rise to power and wealth, while those who seek to live uprightly face pain, injustice, and shame? Have you ever asked those questions? We all have at some point. Why are there more wicked people than good in the world? Why do the corrupt succeed? Why do those who try to live rightly often suffer? And this leads us to some of the most personal and painful questions we often ask ourselves, questions that go deeper than just over observing the world around us. We do not only ask, why do the wicked prosper, or why do good people suffer? We also ask, why am I like this? Why is my life like this? They are honest, raw questions of the heart, questions that often come from a place of exhaustion, disappointment, or quiet sorrow. They're the kind of question that arise when we've tried to live faithfully, and yet life still feels hard. When we've tried to do the right thing, but things still fall apart. When we look at others who cheat and boast and seem to win, and then we looked at our own lives and feel left behind. And yet, despite facing such a situation, the psalmist says, I will not fear. I will not fear. Why? Why is it that he does not fear those who put their trust in wealth and boast of their riches? Why can he live in a world full of such people and yet say he is not afraid? Let's have a look at verse 12. People, despite their wealth, do not endure. They are like the beast that perish. They are like the beast that perish. Interesting expression, isn't it? The beast that perish. In verse 12, the psalmist says that those who boast in their wealth and put their trust in it are like the beast that perish. And then in the final verse of the psalm, verse 20, he makes that point even more clearly. He says that those who have wealth but lack understanding are just like the beast that perish. In other words, the reason they trust in their wealth and see it as the most reliable and powerful thing in their lives is because they are missing one crucial truth. And what is that truth? It is this: their lives will not last forever, and their wealth is utterly useless in the face of death. As we can see in verses 10 to 11, for all can see that the wise died, that the foolish and the senseless also perish, leaving their wealth to others. And also see in verses 8 to 9, the ransom for a life is costly. No payment is ever enough, so that they should live on forever and not see decay. They will not live forever. Death is coming for them. And no amount of wealth will ever be enough to keep it away. And yet, they live as if they don't know this. They boast in their riches. They put their trust in their money, thinking it can keep them safe. But they are blind to the truth. And because of that, the psalmist says they are like a beast, animals that are headed for destruction. What kind of person is like a beast? It is the one who lives only for the present. They never think about what comes next. They live as though tomorrow will never come, as if all that matters is what they can enjoy today. And that's why they despair when they're poor, and boast when they are rich now. Because in their minds, the present moment is all they have and all they ever will have. They cannot really see the eternity. And they don't realize how tragic that truly is. Think about sheep, for example. A shepherd leads them to green pastures. In scripture, this is often a beautiful image of God's care and provision. But here in Psalm 49, there is a darker image. The psalmist says in verse 14, they are like a sheep and are destined to die. Death will be their shepherd. In other words, these people are following a path that seems full of blessing and comfort, but it ends in death. They enjoy the green pastures, unaware that the shepherds guiding them is death itself. And they never stop to ask where they were being led. This is the tragedy. They live without understanding, and they die without ever asking the one question that really matters. What comes after this life? What comes after this death? And when people live without asking that question, they fill their lives with noise like riches, distractions, pleasures, achievements. And yet, the day is drawing near when everything they rely on, everything that fills their lives today, will come to an end. Still, they live as if nothing will change, as though the present moment will last forever. Like the beast that perish, they go on unaware that death is coming. Like the sheep led by the shepherd of death, they do not realize that the day of reckoning approaches. But here, there is one more thing we need to know. Even though they live as if unaware that the day everything ends is approaching, clinging to the present and entrust their lives to what seems powerful and lasting now, in reality, the only reason they live all of this way of living is to avoid thinking about the one thing they fear, which is death. As Hebrews chapter 2, verse 15 put it so well, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 15, the end, yeah. Those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. In their fear of death, they've given their entire lives over to things that cannot save them. Why do they boast in wealth? Why do they cling to it and trust in it? Because deep down, they are afraid. They want something strong enough to protect their lives, something that seems powerful enough to save them from death. And the wealth feels like that kind of power. But in the end, it's an illusion. And in doing so, they confuse two very different things: the longing to be free from death and the longing to be free from the fear of death. So they don't pursue life. They just try to silence their fear. Like an ostrich who, terrified by the approaching hunter, bury their heads in the sand rather than run. They are so afraid of death, the most serious danger they will ever face, that instead of confronting it, they spend their lives trying to silence the fear. And they end up living as slaves, chasing wealth and missing the very thing their hearts were made for, which is eternal life. Eternal life. This is really we are looking for. Eternal life. How foolish this is. And yet, how wise it is to recognize just how foolish it truly is. That's the heart of the psalmist's reflection. He looks at those who trust in wealth and live without understanding, and he doesn't envy them. He doesn't fear them. Why? Because he sees through the illusion. He sees what kind of life that really is, a life of false security built on a fragile ground. And he responds, in essence, how could I possibly fear them? Dear friends, what does it truly mean to be wise? What does it truly mean to be wise? Is wisdom simply knowing a great deal about many things? No. True wisdom is knowing what matters most. It's being able to tell the difference between what is less valuable and what is most valuable, and then live accordingly. Wisdom means recognizing what is truly worth your life and choosing to live for that. But let me ask you, are you in danger of valuing the wrong things? Are you pouring your time, your energy, even your heart into what matters less, while neglecting what matters most? What is the most valuable thing we have? It is our life. And the psalmist is crystal clear in verse 7. No one can redeem the life of another. The ransom for a life is too costly. In other words, our life, your life, is so valuable, so precious, that no amount of money could ever buy it. It's worth more than all the wealth in the world. And that means something profound. Even if you had everything the world could offer, success, money, power, recognition, if you lose your life, all of it becomes meaningless. And the day is coming when those things will lose all their value. The day is coming when the most precious thing you have, your life, will be demanded of you. So, what will you do? Will you live in fear of that day? So afraid of death that you spend your life chasing lesser things just to distract yourself from thinking about it? Dear friends, there is good news. There is real, real good news. There is someone who knows exactly what matters most. And not only does he know, it's what he came to give. Jesus Christ said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. John chapter 10, verse 10. I have come to give my life to them and have it to the full. He didn't come to give you gold and silver. He came to give you life. Not just a little, but life in abundance, overflowing and eternal. But how could he offer something so precious, something no one can buy? Because he gave his own life in exchange. Is there anything more valuable than the life of a Son of God? Jesus came to give us his life so that through his death we might truly live. He not only gives us life, he gives us himself. And in doing so, he fills us with the life to the full. My friend, that is wisdom. To see this, to receive, to believe it, and to receive it by faith. This is the wisdom the psalmist had. He didn't just know the painful truth of verse 7, no one can redeem the life of another. We can feel painful about this truth. As Muriel did just before. But he also believed the glorious promise of verse 15. But God will redeem us. Redeem me from the realm of the dead. He will surely take me to himself. Before you today are two paths, a foolish life and a wise life. Which will you choose? And finally, to my dear brothers and sisters, those who have already received this precious life, do you truly know what you have already? Do you live each day aware that you possess something of such infinite value, something that no power in this world could ever give you, and no amount of money could ever buy? Do you treasure the life you've been given? Not just life, but the life of Christ. Not just eternal existence, but eternal communion with him. Or have you perhaps been setting that treasure aside, exchanging it for things of far lesser value? Are you spending your time, your energy, your heart on what will not last? Will forgetting the immeasurable worth of what you already have in him? Remember this, you possess the most precious and powerful thing in all the world. Christ Jesus has given you his life, and he is with you now. So treasure what is truly valuable that you have already had. And as the psalmist speaks to us today, do not be afraid when evil days come, when wicked deceivers surround you. Do not be overawed when others grow rich, when the splendor of their houses increases. But fear God only, who has redeemed us from the realm of the dead, taking us to himself through Jesus' reconciliation. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for what you've done for us through Jesus Christ, which is so amazing, so precious, so enormously gracious, important for us. Thank you for giving us this wonderful salvation. So we help us to be wise to live with this hope, this promise, this wonderful things which is our life in Jesus Christ. We ask in Jesus' name, Amen.